Okay, with Hashem, the Shabbos we read Parshas Kisovo. So Parshas Kisovo, I guess, is most known for the Tochacha, the long, long list of terrible punishments that Torah says before the Jewish people should they fail to observe the mitzvah of the Torah properly, etc. Most of the Sedri, the Aliyahs are all short, and then you have the Tochacha Aliyah, which is very, very long. It's about 60-something psukim, and in order to get the seven Aliyahs, so you break the rest into shorter Aliyahs, because the custom is not to stop. They call up a new Aliyah in the middle of the Tochacha. But before the Tochacha, the Torah describes an event that's going to take place in Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews get into Eretz Yisrael. So the first source, Perakah Zion, starting Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vaitzav Moshe Samba Amalei Mor, Moshe commanded that when they get into Eretz Yisrael, Eli Yamdu Levarach and Samba Har Grizim, there's going to be a whole ceremony where some of the Jews will be standing on Har Grizim, and some of the Jews will be standing on the opposite mountain, Har Eval, and the Levim will be in the middle, and they're going to declare certain declarations. And it mentions which tribes go where. So it says, Shimon on Har Grizim is Shimon the Levi Yehuda of Yisachar Yosef of Yamin, and the next post of Yehuda Abdul Akolav Areva Ruben God Rosh is Ruben Dom and Atal. It's a total side point. I've mentioned this many times in the past. A lot of the Mefarshim are bothered by the breakdown here. You know, it doesn't seem to these six and these six doesn't match any. You know, it doesn't go by like who the mother was. You know, because the children of Leah are there, except for Reuven and Zvulun are the other. And it doesn't go by how they're encamped around the Mishkan either. It doesn't seem to fit any pattern with the other places where the Shvatim are mentioned. But somebody did a study years ago using a computer, and he figured out the following based on the census that the Torah presents in Parshas Pinchas of the numbers of members of each Shevet. So we did a whole analysis of how many different mathematical possibilities are there. You have 12 shvatim, they're going to divide 6 and 6. So how many, what are the mathematical possibilities? Of all the possibilities, this is the closest to a 50-50 split. So that's just the population. Right? So that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that without all the computers. So maybe that's an interesting suggestion that explains. That's why it's not following any pattern in terms of population. This division of the six shvatim and the six shvatim was the closest to a math, you know, to a 50-50 good. Oh, not necessarily. Well, we can't figure out. They're just going here and they're going there. Everything applies to everybody. But the Levim face different directions and says that X plus Gadal, but on all Levim, Rama, Koshis, or Kolram, the Levim will declare the following. They have a whole list of psukim. I didn't print all the psukim. But there's a list of Aurur, Aish, Asher Yaseh, Pesel, Masecha, Torah, Hashem, Masech, Harshu, Samba, Sisra, Anu, Kolam, Amen. They would, the Levim would make this pronouncement. They would say, cursed is the person who does this and this, Avodah Zarah. And everyone would answer, Amen. The next pasuk, Aurur Makla Avimo, cursed is he who demeans or belittles his parents, Amar Kois, Amar Kala Amamein. And every subsequent pasuk, I didn't print it, look it up, you'll hear it on Shabbos, every subsequent pasuk, the cursed is the one who does this, cursed is the one who doesn't do that. And the last pasuk is Chavav, Aurur Asher Lo Yokim, as Dira Atara Zosla, Amar Kala Amamein. Each time it says Amar Kala Amamein, everybody answers Amen to this declaration made by the Levium. Rashi says in the second source in Perek Zayin there in Pasuk Chavav, Kan Kolas Kolat Torah Kula. This includes observing the entire Torah. Certain things are singled out in the Pesukim. I don't have a discussion another time why those particular things are singled out. But at the end, he says, Aror, cursed is the person who doesn't uphold the whole Torah. And again, and everybody accepts it, says, Ashevi Kiblua Aleim Be'ala Uvishvua. This was accepted as an oath, as a swear. They swore, right? Because they're gonna do this. Okay.
It does seem that these two mountains.
Yeah.
One is the bracha.
Yeah. What's right?
You're saying the whole both.
So that's the question. Who answered Amen, or just the ones they were facing? That's a discussion also, because they faced this and they said that. Now we don't see anything in the Torah. It leads to the next point. We don't see anything in the Torah that they said any bracha. But they did. The Gemara says in Sota, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, in Source 3, Uma Kola Eila Ve'Eila Onu V'Amrim Amen, which sounds like everybody answered Amen, Af Brocha Eila Ve'Eila Onu V'Amen. It was also Brocha. So the same things that were said in the Torah, this we said to Aror, they also said, and Baruch is the opposite. Who, you know, says Aror who makes Avodah Zarah, so Baruch is the person who doesn't make Avodah Zarah. You have all the things.
This set was on Har Grizim, and this set was on Har Eval. It has nothing to do with Brocha as well.
No, it has nothing to do with why. I'm not saying why they. They represented all, but I say six tribes and six tribes. I'm just saying why these six and those six. In other words, the Levim faced these six when they said the Baruch. They faced those six when they said the Kol.
It's not like they're associated with, again, Harigrizim.
Right, Harigrizim is. But look at the division. They don't seem to understand why the Reuven is with the Kol. You think they go back to the Kol of Yaakov, you know, and so on. That kind of, you know.
I don't know why this Harigrizim and Baruch.
Yeah, right. We don't. But I mean, Phil, there are drushes about it. But
right.
This person who did the study thought that it's nothing to do with no drushes. It was an even split. So these six went here, these six went there. It had nothing to do with the Shlatim themselves. So there was that. I didn't take a leave it. I thought it was a very creative suggestion. Cause it, you know. Yeah.
I'm sure if I was going to Shlatim on the
call. Yeah, he wouldn't feel great, right? But the answer, everything was directed to everybody. Anyway. So it was Bracha and Kola recited. That's the point. And that's how the Gemara says in Sotol Lama Zayin Beis. There's a Gemara in Shavuos, and it's really leading to our discussion tonight. So it's number four, Shavuos Lama Vavnal. Amar Yosef Ruchanina. Amen, the word Amen, what is the word? We all know Amen, right? We saw Amen. What exactly does the word mean? What does it imply when a person says Amen? So that's what I'm speaking about tonight, the importance of answering Amen. Not necessarily the halachas of how, but just the importance of it. So the Gemara in Shavuos Lama Vavnal says, Amar Yosef Ruchanina, Amen bo Shavua. Bo kabbalas dvarim, bo ha'amonas dvarim. Amen implies a shvuah, can apply an oath, okay, bo shvuah, bo kabbalas dvarim, accepting something to do, or to maybe to verify something, not necessarily shvuah, or bo ha'amonas dvarim, that I believe that this is true, okay, or that this will happen, I believe, or you know, I attest to the fact that it's true. Okay, how do we know this? Bo shua, how do we know that the word amen implies a shua? So that's from Amra Isha Amen Amen. I printed in 5 and 6, the Psukim Parshas Naso, by the woman, the Sota, the woman who suspected of infidelity to her husband. So the whole, her husband said, don't go be alone with this man, and she did go alone with this man. So there's a whole ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, and part of the ceremony is in Bamidbar, Perek Hei, Pasuk Chaf Alef HaKabeis, in verse 5, Bishbia HaKoin HaSha'isha B'shrua Sa'ola. The coin would declare a shua, and the coin would say, if you're not telling the truth, may this and this happen, your stomach bloats, and so on and so forth, you know, from Parsha Sota. And as it says, Chavez Uvo, Hamayim, Hamarim, it is bitter waters, you'll drink, and so on. And Amra Isha, Amen, Amen, the end of Pasuk Chavez, Amen. So that was a shua. Rashi says there in Parsha Nosso, in Surah 6, Parakei, Pasuk Chavez, Amen, Amen, Kabbalah Shua. She didn't never said the words, I swear. He says, do you hereby swear? And she says, Amen, Amen. I do. Right? That's that. And that's as if she took that shua herself. Okay, it's a shua that the woman takes that she's not lying. She said she wasn't unfaithful to her husband. Not only that, but Amen, Allah, Amen, Shua, Amen, Mishda, Amen, Mishachir. You know, she may have not have fooled around with this man. It may show up different also, including that. Amen, Shul Satis Arusa, Nesua, Shomer, Shomer. Because all these different things are implied. It's a lesson of Shua. So that's number one, that Amen can be as if you took a Shua, as if you swore. That's one. Two, back to the Gemara, the end of the first line there on source four. Shua Islam Roman Olive. Bo Kabbalah Dvarim. I'm accepting something upon myself. That's from our passion. Okay, in other words, that's the second one. That's our psukim. That's a Kabbalah. That's accepting upon yourself. And thirdly, boha monas dvarim. That means that I believe that something is true. I hope that something is true. That's from a pasuk Yirmiyahu. D'chsiv ayomer Yirmiyahu anavi el Chananyo amen kenya asesh yakim Hashem hazorech. I printed that in source 7. That's in Yirmiyahu perek chavches. You know, when Yirmiyahu was around prophesying about the destruction, of the impending destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the fall of Yerushalayim. So it was running around there at the same time was a gentleman by the name of Chananya Hanavi. He was a Navi Sheker. And he told the people, no, Yerushalayim will never be destroyed. Da, da, da. You know, the people much happier to listen to him than to listen to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was a prophet of doom and gloom. And this guy had the good news. So Yirmiyahu said to Chananya, and Yirmiyahu perchofches, psukim hei and vav, he said in front of everybody, look at vav, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Anavi, Amen, ken yaseh Hashem, yokem Hashem ezorecha, Hashem ebeit, I hope you're right. Okay, he said that your prophecy, which Yirmiyahu knew was a fake, but he said, I hope you're right. L'ashiv klei beisim chalagol, and bavol amakom ezeh, that one should be returned from bavol, because it was after the first, the first 11 years before the Churban, people were already led away. So this other guy said they're all coming back soon. So I hope you're right. Right? He says, Amen, Ken Yaseh Hashem. Like, Amen, Ken Yaratzon. That's what he's saying. That's how the Mitzvot David explains. This explains why it says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu twice. Okay, detail. But Amen, look at the second line of 8. Yiuman Dibarecha. May your words come true. That's also a main. May what you say come true. All right. We also, I hope you're right. Right. That's what it means over there. So that's what we know from looking at Rashi in 9, Rashi and Shmuel on Vav and Aleph. Amen bo Shua. Ona amen achar Shua. Kemotzi Shua mepid. If you answer amen when somebody imposes something or declares a Shua, it's as if you took the Shua. You can't say, I never say it. I just said the word amen. No, that implies you took the Shua. Bo kabolos dvarim. Right, Omer says Rashi. Omer l'chaver amenash and shchamli tonight kachwa kachwa amar amen. Ki belgor v'chayv l'chayim tonal. If somebody says, I'll make a deal with you, and you'll, if this and this happens, then you'll give me $1,000, whatever, we'll make an arrangement. And you say, amen, that's an agreement. You've accepted this upon yourself. Even though I never said I would do it. No, amen is enough. Okay, and boom, one is varim. And then Rashi throws in, look, at the top of the next page. V'roi lanos amen al dvar tfila v'tivchina. Shuloshan amen hadorim shirotson she'emeskein. May this be true. That's what amen, you know, someone says a tefillah or some kind of a prayer, and you say amen, can you write some, right? May it be, may it come true. Okay, as it says, Amra Isha amen, amen, and so on. So it's as if she took the oath. So that's the Bavli in Shulis Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. Lamed Vav Amid Aleph in Shulis. Yerushalmi over there in Sota on Perak Beis Halacha Hey has the same teaching, but learns out from different psukim. Rabbi Lezer B'Shem Yisim and Zimmer Amen LeKabbala Amen LeShua Amen Ye Amnu HaDvarim. Same thing, right? The Lashon Shua, the Lashon accepting something, and it's also Lashon may this come true, and so Amen LeKabbala Nisota. Okay, that we had. Okay, Amen LeShua. It's interesting because we had Shua, Sota was Shua, but okay, Amen LeShua. Says Laman, if also Yirmiyo, a presented Perak Yeralef. This is by the Kadosh Baruch Hu should keep his word and so on. So it says over there that Yiradavar Shehoyel Yirmiyo Perak Yeralef, starting the pasuk Aleph. Yiradavar Shehoyel Yirmiyo mitzvahs only more. Shimuos Divrei Abrisos those and tell the Jewish people to keep the mitzvahs and so on. And pasuk Hey Laman Hakim Es Hashua Shenishbati Lavaseichem Lavaseichem Eretz Zoras Kol Vash. Come and say, "Va'an va'omer amen Hashem." Ah, Yirmiyo answered, "Amen Hashem." Right? He's going to accept that teshua, and "Amen ye amnu dvarim." May this come true. The Yerushalmi learns also a different pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perak Aleph 13. That was right after Bathsheba, the wife of David HaMelech, came and said, "I heard Adonijah was going to be the king," and he said, "No, Shlomo's going to be the king." And Nosson Rabbi popped in and said, "I heard Adonijah is going to be the king." "No, Shlomo's going to be the king." And so right after that, which is the haftar here it's right after that in Perak Aleph of Melacham Aleph, starting Pasuk Lamed Beis. "Va'amar Melech David Kiru li Tzarak HaKohen Onasa Novi Livnai Ben Yehoyada Ve'Lefnai Melech." He calls his chief head Kohen, and then Nosan Novi, and then the military leaders, they all come together, and a political leader. And "Va'amar Melech, take Shlomo HaMelech and put him on my animals." So you'll see he's riding my donkey and so on, and bring him down, and a Moshe, Tzarek HaKohen will anoint him as the king, and so on, and the blow the shofar, and Vamarta Michia Melech Shlomo, everyone will say, "May long live the king Shlomo," etc., and then you come after him, and Pasuk Lamed Vav, "Vayan B'Rael Ben Yehoda, Samelech Vayomer, Amen, Kein Yomar, Shlomo Lekeh Adoni HaMelech." Again, it was Amen, Rashi says, "Shiyichia Shlomo, if Shlomo should live, long live the king." Amen, I agree, right? So now may it happen that way. So that's how the Yerushalmi presents it again from different psukim. Okay. The Korban Eidah there in Yerushalmi Tota, Paragraph of Achei, the Rasachomer, and says, again, it it compares it to the Bavli we saw in Shulis, that Amen has three different possible meanings, and they discuss the fact that it's perhaps a different gear, so sure, whichever one it is. But again, we understand that this is another source for the meaning or the source of what the word Amen represents. Okay, there is another point that Amen represents, aside from a shua, aside from Kabbalah's Dvarim, aside from Ha'amonah's Dvarim. The Gemara in Shabbos, there's a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perk Chav Vav, Pasuk Bei 17, says, "Pishu Sha'arim, V'yavo Got Tzadik, Shomer Emunim." What does that mean? So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufi Tesson Bay says, Omer Ish Lakish, 18. Kola Ona Amen Bechol Kocha, Postin Lo Sharigan Eden. Somebody who answers Amen properly with all his strength, with all his kavana, they open up the gates of Gan Eden for such a person. Shanemar Pishu Sharim Beyovo Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim, Al Tikri Shomer Emunim, Elisha Omrim Amen. It's a play on words. Not Shomer Emunim, keep the faith, but rather it's a play on words. Shomer Emunim, Shomrim Amen. And then the Gemara says, "My Amen, Amruchire, Kael, Melech, Ne'amon." Amen, the letters, Aleph, Ne'amon, Kael, El, Melech, Ne'amon. Okay? What does that mean? So that means that God is to be trusted. God is a trusted or trustworthy king. He says it's true. That's what the word Amen. So that's another angle on Amen, that it stands. It's Rosh Tevis. It's an acronym. I mean, it's initials for Kael, Melech, Ne'amon. Okay? Kach made al Boroshu Kelmach Namon. Rashi says, and there in Shabbos, what it means is, when you say Amen, you are testifying, you believe that God is trustworthy. And Tosus adds, in Shabbos, Kufitesim Beis, source 20, Amr Chanina, Tosus says, Tzorach Lahar Bobusha Shomer Amen. You should think that when you answer Amen, every time you answer Amen, you should think Kelmach Namon. We don't always pay attention when answering Amen. That's what he says. You should think. Now, we saw another point that Amen is not like Kel Melech Ne'amon, you know, or that God is believable, but it trusted also, right? We trust that what he says is true. So that's what the Pasuk in Tehillim, another Pasuk in Tehillim, Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chavdal 21, it says, Ebo is Hashem Kol Chassidim, Emunim Notzer Hashem. Okay, Emunim Notzer Hashem. Rashi in Tehillim there says what that means. Shomer Hashem is Hamamin and Yeshua, so the Song Galav. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects those who trust in him. In God we trust. Right? That's another coin. We got money. God we trust. Those who taka trust in God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu protect him. So the tour in the Chutzilin, Sim Kuf Chav Dalet, he's talking about Chazor Sashatz, and he says there, 23, V'yanu Amen Acha Kol Brocha Brocha. You should answer Amen to every Brocha in the Chazor Sashatz, the Petition of Shema Yassay. Bein Osem Shiyatsu, Yitzvila Bein Osem Shiyatsu. Whether you are being Yotze right now with that Brocha or not, you said this one essay already. Well, you're sitting in the back of the shul, you're learning or whatever. You should answer Amen to everything. And Shechav and believe what does it mean? Emes hi habrocha. Shabir chamavarech. By saying Amen, you're saying that whatever that person who's reciting the bracha said is true. I agree that what he said is true. Ani mamin b'zek ki Amen loshon ha'amon is dorm. When somebody says, I don't know, rofei chole amo Yisrael, and you say Amen, you're saying, I believe also what he said is right. God is the one who heals all the sick. Yes, it's true. I believe so as well. Okay? But then he quotes a little bit later in that same passage in the Torah, in Sim Kum Chavdal. He quotes Zelosh from Rav Amram. He quotes Rav Amram. Rav Amram Gon, the first Siddur that we have is the Siddur of Amram Gon, the oldest Siddur that we have. You know, the Gemara never talks about having a Siddur, right, for davening. So it was the first organized Siddur that, again, it's not the same order exactly, it's not the same text exactly we have, but the first text of a siddur that we have is the siddur of Amram Gon. Okay, the 900 or so. So there are two quotes of Amram. Man the kabek tishachori shatz boil lecham nedaita and so ubas is should pay attention to what the chazan says. Ubas the chasim shatz al kabrocha rocha levi on amen. Okay, so answer amen. He quotes this pasuk and tell him emunim notes Hashem. What does that mean? Okay, he says because many of the brachas the chazan recites. Like, for example, he says, Omer Shatz, Baruch Mechai HaMesim. V'heim Omein. V'adayin L'Rot Chias HaMesim. What am I answering Omein? I never saw any dead people come back to life. What's Omein? Right? Sometimes Omein, you're saying Omein to somebody. I believe it's true, but you haven't seen it, right? Oh, so he says, or Omer Shatz, Baruch Hashem, Goel Yisrael. Goel Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem redeems the Jewish people. Oh, I didn't see that, not yet. Heim Odeim V'adayin L'Nigalu. They were redeemed and they went back again into exile. So what's going on? So Maminim Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe it's in the true. And true, it's going to be true in the future. Same thing, Boni Rishayim and so on. So that's Emunim Notz Hashem. Those people who believe. So Amen here is actually projecting the future. You're saying, you know what I mean? So may it be. So may it be the will of God. So may it be. I'm not saying Amen, yes, I believe that it happens, but so may it be. So that's another aspect. Okay? That's how the Beis Yosef there on the tour says Yanam and Kol Bracha, etc. And you should have in mind that this Amen is Lashon Hamonas Dvarim, and he refers to a Medrash here in Parshas Kisavo, right? The beginning of our Parsha, source 25, is in Dvarim Rabba, Medrash Rabba in Dvarim, Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Zayin, Tzimin Aleph. First of all, he says Halacha Adam Yisrael Shavolef Net Teba. He says starts with a question: Can the Chazan answer Amen? This will be relevant as soon as coming to Yontif. To the chazan, she answer Amen to the Birchas Kohanim. Right? For example, Birchas Kohanim, we answer like the Yishmerecha, right? Amen. That's what the Tzibur answers. What about the chazan? Should he answer? The question is the middle Shemana Esrei, but on the other hand, it's part of the, you know, so we pass on Halacha that he shouldn't answer main to the Bracha, that the Kohanim say, the Bracha is only shall be Ava, but he should answer main. But here's why. The commission, the Gemara says, the two quotes over here, you shouldn't do it, right? It's mixed up. But remember, in the olden days, there's no sitter, the master. The chazan had to keep his head on straight because everything was by heart. The chazan was somebody who knew the davening by heart. So he's going to be paying attention to Kohanim and answering Amen. Now he's going to lose his place and get mixed up. However, but if you're not going to get mixed up because the guy's a long time chazan, he knows it, or we have a sitter, so then you should answer Amen. Okay, Loma. So I just want to show you. What a statement. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than people answering Amen. All right, it's an exaggerated statement a little bit, but you see the value of it. But he's just to be a makri. He's not really saying it.
That's the question
about Amen. You're right. He's also projecting the future, right? But that's really my point in a certain sense. Is projecting, you're saying Amen means I affirm that it's going to happen. Cain, so may it be. You know, that's what I mean. There's different meanings of Amen. And actually, the Medrash goes on after this thing. It says, Amar Behuda Bar Simon, Amen Hazeh Yesh Boshosha Isbayos. Same thing. It has three meanings. Shua, the Kabbalah, Babylon. And it quotes the Psukim, just like we saw in the Gemara. But I just want to show you that line in the Medrash. Ein Godot Nekodesh Baruch Hu Yoser Me Amen Shi Yisrael Onim. Wow. Okay, nothing greater in the eyes of Hashem than Jews answering Amen. That's a pretty strong statement, even an exaggerated statement. But still, okay, it's quite interesting. Now, what you were asking, Dr. Farvis, the Bach kind of addresses that a little bit in the Simon Kuf Chav Zal there. Yanu Omein, he said, you have to know what's the different brachas are different. Some brachas are, you know, are like for example, the beginning of the Shemana Esrei, Shevach, that's not projecting the future. So, Avraham and Mechaim Esrei, you know, or Mechaim Esrei is, although you're not really saying God brought the dead back, but he has the power to do it. It's cool. But anyway, but the brachas and tzoros, which are requests, when you say Amen, yeah, I want also the people I know that are sick to get better. Or, you know, Baruch Brich Hashanah or whatever. No, he says, Shekach is Amis Leinenu, V'imala Mishal Oseinu, Sheshalom Menu, Chanein Echadei Adidu, Ashivenu, Slachonu, V'chein B'chol Shara Tzvachim. Nechshich Tzibur says it. So, Anachnu Mechazkim Osa Shela. Exactly what you're saying. The Chazin is also projecting the future. When we answer Amen, we're strengthening the request, so to speak. Mechazkim Osa Shela. When we respond to us, Hashem, new divrei b'kavshus elu, may these requests come true. So it's a team effort, which really leads into the discussion we're going to have in just a moment. There's one other source for Amen, and that is a famous pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu, in a few weeks, the Perek Lamed Beis pasuk, the famous pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu, which means, I will call out to the name of Hashem, and you ascribe Godel, Godel's greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That pasuk is often cited with regard to a lot of responsive, for example, by benching, right? One person leads the benching, the Baruch Shechal Nizol, and the other people respond, Baruch Shechal Nizol Tochin, right? That same pasuk. It's for other things, but one of them is the Sifrei. In Piskas Shinvav, says in 28, interesting, I printed also the Yalkut Shimoni there, and I remember tough Kuf Nabei, same pasuk, because in regular edition of the Sifrei, it actually says in 28, it doesn't say the word Amen. And the Yalkut Shimoni does say the word Amen. I guess in the version that they have here, I wouldn't have printed both, but the edition of Sifrei that I have at home, it doesn't say the word Amen. It just says, Minayim Sha'onim Achar HaMavarach. That's why I printed the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, Minayim Sha'onim Amen Achar HaMavarach. Fine. So we have another Makor. So the Mishnah says in Brachas, now 30, the Mishnah says in Brachas, Nun Aleph from the base, the Onin Amen, it's a long Mishnah with different topics, the end of the Mishnah, it says, the Onin Amen Achar Yisrael Hamavarach. You're supposed to answer Amen after the Jew makes a bracha. The Ain Onin Amen Achar Kusi Hamavarach. Ad Sheishmachal Bracha Kulam. But you don't answer Amen after a Kusi. Now, what is a Kusi? So a Kusi is a person, very quickly, the time of the Bayis Rishon, so about 150 years before the Chorban Bayis Rishon, a fellow by the name of Sancheirib, the king of the tribes of Ashur, the Assyrian king, Assyrian objects of Assyria, right, but more or less the same area. So they came in, and he conquered the so-called 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, 150 years before the Chorban. And that's, he led the people out of Eretz Yisrael. That's how the 10 lost tribes got lost. Okay, we don't know what became of them. They were tricked into a different place because the practice of conquering generals at that time was to take the indigenous, the current population and move them over here. He conquered that area and he put the people over there to over here and he kept, you know, mixed up the population. That was a means of controlling the conquered because, you know, you're far from home. You don't know the terrain. You're not fighting for your own. We know, we've discussed in the past, you know, when you're fighting for your own farm, your own land, you fight harder. And you know this, the American colonists were able to beat the clearly militarily superior British forces in the Revolutionary War. But part of it is because, you know, these guys are the British soldiers thousands of miles away from home. So, okay, you're fighting for your own farm, your own, you know, your own land. And B, you know, where the secret hiding places are, where the ambush places are, and so on. So they understood that in the old days. They would mix up the populations. The 10 lost tribes got lost. Who did he bring in? He brought people to live in this northern part of Eretz Yisrael called Kusim, from an island called Kuto. There's a Navi in the Vim Rishonim. So what happened was they came and lived. They were idolaters. They were pagans. And they worshipped their pagan gods. And suddenly they were attacked by lions. They were like regularly subjected to attacks by lions. So they came to the conclusion, you know, they were pagans. They said, well, it must be the god of this land is not obviously not happy with our behavior, with our religious behavior. So we'll convert to the religious behavior of this country. So they converted. But there's a long-standing discussion. Was it really a valid conversion? It wasn't a valid conversion. They really weren't interested in converting, but they were afraid of the lions and so on and so forth. So, at a different time in history. Later on, they found that it was bogus because they found that it was still worshipping this golden dove. All right, whatever it is. But so the Kusim would say a bracha, but if you didn't hear the beginning, let's say I walk in, I hear a guy say, Bor Praet. I just heard those three words. I didn't hear the first part of the bracha. So if it's a Jew, I have to answer Amen. But if it's a Kusi, I don't know what the first part he said was. Maybe he said, may this golden dove book briefly. Better not. That's what the Mishnah says. You answer Amen when a Jew says a bracha, but with a Kusi, you don't make sure you hear the whole bracha. Okay? With a Jew, says Rashi, there, 31. The Masa Onim, Afilo Shoma El Sof Bracha. They had their idols on our reason. So maybe he made some idolatrous bracha. Okay. The Gemara on that Mishnah, 32 is very important. Nun Gimel and Beis. The Gemara on that Mishnah in Brachas and Gimel Beis says as follows. 1 second. Lememra the Yisrael Afal Gav de lo Shoma Kula Bracha Oneh. Wait a minute. Is that true? Do you answer Amen to a Jew who didn't hear the whole bracha? V'chilo Shoma Hechinafik. How can I be Yotzei the bracha without hearing the whole bracha? Right? What do you mean? How can I be Yotzei? I said at the table we make hamotzi. I'm still in the kitchen washing. I come in. I just heard them say, it's a Jew. They're all from Jews. I sit down. I just heard them say the words. Hamotzi, hamotzi. I didn't hear the beginning of the bracha. So how could the bracha count? What do you mean? Good, he's a Jew. But I didn't hear the whole bracha. How could be Yotzei? Right? And the Rashi says, because at that point we're thinking it's one of the people at the table. Omar Chiyah Barab, B'shalo Ochali Ma'ayah. No. Chiyah Barab said, that's, you're not eating. Meaning, I don't need that bracha. Okay, I'm not eating an apple right now. You're eating an apple, so you go to the fridge, you say, bracha, bracha, and I happen to walk in the kitchen just as you said the words, bar praet. So I heard you say bar praet. I can answer amen to that bracha. I'm not eating an apple now. I don't need the bracha. Ain't a chanami. If it's a bracha, which I'm being motzi, it's kiddish, then I have to hear the whole bracha for that, for sure. Like, let's have a sukkah, a couple of sukkahs. So I have to hear the whole bracha if I want to use the bracha myself, that's for sure. In this case, somebody didn't hear it. Okay. Okay, now the next thing. Fascinating statement. Omale Rav Chiyah Brei. Rav once said to son Chiyah Brei, my son, Chatof Ubrich. Sort of like, grab the opportunity to, you should say the bracha. Okay, now Rashi explains, Kishim Rashitin Kosher Bracha, Mechazin Luchovit Tivarech. By benching, we're talking about. Now, it's in Parashat, in Brachas and Gimel, so it's talking about benching. What does it mean? So we have to understand, in the olden days, and by the way, among the Sfaradim still to this day, when they have a bench with a mezumin, only one person says, by us, the beginning is Hosanna Rabbah, and everyone benches to themselves. But the original Birchas HaMazon with his mezumin was that one, the person leading the mezumin didn't just say the opening lines of Hosanna Rabbah, he said the whole benching, and everybody listened and said, amen, like Chazor Sashat. That was the way it used to be done, but the Sfaradim, and the message probably so much, guys, also, the Sfaradim do it that way to this day. Okay, that everyone else listens and answers Amen. So therefore, said Rav to his son Chiyah, he said, you'll be the one to lead the benching. Sounds like Is that what you're saying? Baruch Everett was only saying Amen. He's trying chap, chatov, chaparai, you know, if you can. And also, chen amar v'huna, l'rabba b'ri. Rav Huna gave his son Rabba the same advice. Chatov v'brich, you know, you try to be the one to say the brachas. To ask the Gemara 1 second. L'meimra, so the Gemara asks, l'meimra d'mevarech adif v'man d'ani amen. Is that true? That the one who says the bracha is greater than the one who answered amen. But Tanya, Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Godol ha'ona amen Yosim and Mavarech. On the contrary, it's even better, it's greater to answer amen than to be the one to say the bracha. Okay, and Amar Leib Rabbi Nahorai Ashamayim, the language of which I swear, by heaven, you know, by God, he's right. Kainhu, that's true. It's better. What does he have to, what did he tell us to chop a ride? Either Rabbi, it's better not to be the one to lead the bench, it's better to go into Amen. Okay? Taydan, I'll bring you proof. Shahare Guliarin Yordan Mizgar Machom Gibor Yordan Atsin. You know, when you're fighting a war, so first you send out the regular soldiers, and then when you know you want to finally end it off, you bring out the big guns. Right? Afterwards you bring out the big guns. So the guy answering Amen, he's giving the final blow, so to speak. So first comes the initial battle or whatever, and then you bring out the big guns afterwards, right? So it says the same thing here by way of an example. Oh, good. So that's it. But the question. So we'll have to see this far in a second. But anyway, the Gemara concludes. Take it. We got two lines on the bottom there, in source 32. The brachas on Gilmon Bays. Tanoi, it's Take Rachokis Tanoi, which is greater? Okay, the Tanya, Echron Baruch Echron Amim and Bimashma Elishem Amarim Lebaruch Yosim and Amen. It's good. To say a bracha and to answer something, both are good, okay. And now she says in the mikvah she answers something, else is not for us right now. But shememar the mevarich, gets a little bit of a higher reward. Both good. That's his price. And the other price, Rabbi Yossi said, gadol amen. It's the answer to machlokes. So these amoraim who told their sons to chaparayin to be the lead ones leading the benching, they held like this price. It's a machlokes. I'm fine. Won't be the first. Won't be the last. Okay, then the Gemara just asks a side point, but I may come back to later. I don't know. Should you answer Amen after a little baby makes a bracha? Should you answer Amen? Okay. So Amalei Achar Kol Ona Amechutz Mitikah Tinoko Shabbos Rabban Hole Islamid Asuyin. When the kids are little, they don't understand what a bracha is. So there's no Amen. What to what? He doesn't even know what he's saying. Well, let's say a kid is practicing, bar mitzvah, something like that. So he keeps practicing the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech Hashem, Baruch haba Adonai. I do it all day long. You have to keep answering. I mean, it's practicing. It's not okay. So that's the end of that. We'll come back to that point afterwards. So they said when a kid doesn't really know what he's saying, the answer is shouldn't say. Well, the same thing. That makes
it's part of the training too, isn't it?
Yes, we'll have to get to that. So the post can discuss. It depends on the age of the kid. What does he understand? Okay. But anyway, but our issue is, Tosfos explains in Nozir Samach Vavar Beis. That's this same sugya that was in Brachas Nun Gimel appears also in Sota Samach Vav. So there, Tosfos says, Notos Char, Ona Amein and the Mevarach get rewarded, but Mevar and Mevarach Tchili Tein Char. But these time hold that it's better to say the Bracha. So the Rambam Paskin, we take a look in 35. Rambam Perik Aleph Hilchos Brachas Halachi Gimel. Anyone who hears a Jew making a bracha, any bracha, hear the whole bracha, you're not involved in this bracha, I'm not eating an apple now, I'm not shaking my loaf now, whatever, still chayav lanos, amen. But he says, that someone didn't believe in God or whatever, or Tinoch Shem Islam is Shagado Vishenam Shinam Bad Bracha, or he said the Bracha wrong. Right, the guy's taking his little bit, he says Shakon Ibbara. That's not the right. So again, then you don't answer me. Right, and the same din appears in Shulchan Aruch Sin Reish Tes Vav Siv Beis. Okay, so it's basically the same thing. Okay? The Mishnah Berurah says that even if you didn't hear the whole thing, but he just heard the end. You have to answer Amen. Some say when he didn't hear the whole thing, only heard the beginning. He only heard Baruch Hashem. Or you have to at least hear the name of Hashem. And then Mishra will discuss that. Okay. Anyway, if you're Chayev.
No, if you're not
Right, if you are, that's an exon. But if you are chayiv, so then for sure you have to hear the whole text of the bracha. That's for sure. You want to be yod to that bracha. And he quotes the Sukkot Mecheres, chayiv lanu tzuchiv kishim Hashem ekra. And
the point that you yod say you don't have to.
If you need that bracha, you have to
hear
right.
You could use that bracha. You don't
say, right, you don't say it again. Right, correct. Okay. But we do hamotzi and Shabbos, right? One person hamotzi, everyone else is yod say.
There's a shot if you daven yom
shmoneh, right, correct. Because you already daven.
If you did, right?
You shouldn't make your own minute.
If you're going to be, usually at the Shabbat, you know, people make mistakes on the Shabbat.
Then everyone
says Amen, you're done.
No, or you could say the bracha again.
You don't answer Amen. You could say your bracha. The only thing is, you want to have Lechem Mishnah. That's the thing. You know, on Shabbos. But let's say on a weekday, if we're sitting down at lunch on a weekday, and I make hamotzi, and you're going to have a sandwich too, would you rather make your own bracha? Okay, so you make your own bracha. You don't answer Amen. That's a further question. In order to do both, right. Okay, now, further question, what's better, you know, that circumstance. So it's then called the Rov Am, you know, more people participating is better. Okay, anyway, and the Mishnah Berurah Zakat in Tesra says that the minig developed even when there's no Shem Hashem. For example, Harachamon, right? Harachamon, there's no Shem Hashem. You just say a tefillah, something like that, that's enough to also require the answer, Amen. The Torah points out, in 38, there's a Torah in Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches of Arachayim, Hechus Bechaz Mazim. It says, V'chein b'chol brocha shalom shomea, bein b'chaz peros, bein b'chaz mitzvah. It doesn't matter, it's a brocha. He only mentions two, but really the Rambam points out there are three categories, I don't know else writing printed, Hechus Brocha, so there are three categories of brochas. Three types of brachas. There's what's called birchas hanenin, which is a bracha over something I get pleasure from, like all the brachas on food. Bar in Arizona, bar per goffin, chocolate and bivaro, bar per eight, all those are called birchas hanenin, or even I'm not eating, but I'm enjoying the fragrance. Bar in Arizona, I enjoy the smell. Something I get benefit from, that's called birchas hanenin. Then there's something else called birchas hamitzvah. That's a bracha on tefillin, the bracha on kishofer, the bracha on megillah, the bracha on adlakas neir, and whatever else. Okay, that's not a bracha I get benefit from, that's a mitzvah. So many mitzvahs have brachas. The way to tell, generally speaking, that something's a brachas a mitzvah is that it has the phrase in it, asher kiddushanu, it's also a tzivana, right? Now, eating an apple, I don't have to eat an apple. Just if I want to, I can make a bracha, right? And then there's what's called brachas shevach v'hodah, a bracha just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a lightning, a thunder, things along those. Anyway, you always answer something. But now I'd like to look for a few minutes at what some of the posts can discuss. What is we mentioned before, it's on the brachas in Gilman Bay, also Nozim Das Samachov, this idea that God alone, I understand, you know, what's conceptually it, that it's even better to answer Amen? We said it's a machlokas. Okay, but what's the tzad to say that answering Amen is even better than the bracha itself? How can that be? Well, like you were saying, they need the bracha, right? I understand Amen is important that we shouldn't, but why does the Gemara go so far as to say, according to one opinion, God alone, Amen, Yosef Revach? Really? That is counterintuitive, right? I mean, Amen is a nice thing. It's a final stamp.
Huh?
So let's see. Let's see what the Rishonim saying. The Rashbo was asked this kasha. Source 39. Chuvas Rashbo chelik alos simen nun gimel. Oda Marta. Someone asked him the question. Mipnei ma amu gado oda amen yosavar. Why is that? What's the logic there? So he says chuvah gam bezei yesh inyan ne'olam lebalei achochma. There's some hidden reason here that we don't necessarily understand. Maybe some mystical reason. But he says amnul pshatan shaldoram. The pshat is and say the following. Okay, Shaloshan Amein, he says, we learned this already, right? Shaloshan Amein, Yeshbo Kiyam Dover, like in our Parsha, Amar Kolom Amein, back to Parsha Kisover, right? We're accepting it. But now he said, well, listen to what's happening. Hamavorech, when a person makes the bracha, Ein Bilashona Ela Hoda'a, he is thinking, he's concentrating, he's thinking about whatever the text of the bracha is, right? Yotzer Or, Yotzer Adam. Okay? He's not really focusing on the truth of it, so to speak, right? Except indirectly, but he's really focusing on the specifics of it. So he says, but the person who answers Amen, the person who answers Amen is actually focusing on this is true, or so may it be true. So in a certain sense, he's higher because he's saying this is absolutely true. Not that the other person didn't mean that, but it's not as much in the forefront, right? He is concentrating on the actual text and the meaning of the bracha, Yotzer Adam, saying God could. But the other guy is saying this is really true, so it's a greater punch, so to speak, right? And he says that's why the Gemara brings, the Rashbo says, that's why the Gemara brings the story with the battlefield, right? You bring the big guns out later, right? The Amen is like the big guns, Okay? Ona Amin, look at the last words of Rosh Boah, but Ona Amin can go by a sarkola. He gives it the final punch. Okay? Yeah, it's creative, but not necessarily creative, but not necessarily that satisfying for everybody. So look what some other people say. Rabbeinu Bachya gives another example. Rabbeinu Bachya is in his commentary on the Chumash in Parshas B'Shalach, Shmos Per Gedal, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. That's a famous Pasuk. Hayira Hamas Hashem, Ma'aminu Hashem, Oshavdo. By Rabbi Foaz Yoshi. So it says there, Hayira, Rabbeinu Bachya writes, Hayira B'Hamuna Ikra L'Chava Torah. Right? Two very important things. Yira Hashem and Amuna B'Hashem are fundamental basics, not to sound redundant, but fundamentals of our religion. Right? That's what it's all about. And he says, "Umipnei sha'amuna yisod kol haTorah kula." Muna, emuna, belief in Hashem, and belief is not even the right word, really. I don't think, because belief implies I believe. I believe the thing I think. You know, sometimes people say, "Yeah, I believe so." Right? You know, you think so. It may think very much so, but the emuna is strong. Emuna, a better translation, emuna is conviction. Right? I have a conviction. I'm convinced. Right, stronger than belief. Okay, but anyway, this kind of conviction of Umeisha Amuna Yisod Kol HaTorah Kula Tiknulana Rabbi Sanyas Kol HaTorah Kabitfil Bebroch Lamas Amen. So Nigzam Eloshin Amuna. The word Amen comes from the word Amuna, right? Umeiloshin Odosh Mekabel Adirei Avarach Amodu Bahem. And he says, of course, the Gemara we saw in Shavuos, right? And he says, Godal Amen Ona Amen Yosem Avarach Ubir Hinyan Kamevarech Made Rechosh Hashem Baruch Hu Shemakar Abrocha. V'ona amen hu mekayim hashtar. You know what it's like? It's like the person, amen, it's like you have a shtar, but then it has to be notarized, or it has to be signed, it has to be made official. So the guy who answers amen, he gives the shtar, so to speak, its token. The person says a bracha, and I answer amen, I'm giving the document that's notary public, right? So he says, v'ona amen hu mekayim hashtar ikar. And two witnesses, we need two witnesses. Really, the first witness is important, but the second one, it makes us into a star. Right? The second signator makes it into a star. Now, of course, you need the first person, not dismissing the first person. But it's the second guy that made this into something official, more official, stronger. That's the Ben Abach's example. The Avudram says something totally different. Okay, he says, Rudram in Shemoneh 41, right? He quotes this Gemara, God Olam Yosef Baruch. He says, Yesh Meforshim ki Amen beGematria. The word Amen in Gematria adds up to 91, right? Aleph is 1, Mem is 40, Mem is 50, so 91. So that's the Gematria is the Minyan Tzadi Aleph 91. The Hu Kaminyan Shnei Shemos. They have two names of God. The Yud Hei Vav Hei name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right, which is 26. Yud and Hay and Rav is 26. And Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, okay, that's another 65. Okay? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. It adds up to 65. Adonai. It's 65. So he says, 65 and 26. There is 91. Amen. Amen numerically represents the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says basically, the guy answering Amen is, he's doubling. The first person only said Baruch Atah Hashem. He has Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's why. Yeah, Yesh Mefarshim. He says the other approach is like the star, like I mentioned before. It's like the signing that makes the document official. So again, that's what the Rishonim are dealing with. These are Rishonim again. The Rokeach also writes in Shin Lamed, the Rokeach 42. Amen Gematria Kmo Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Yud Kei Vav Kei. He has two names of God in his statement, Amen, and the person making the bracha really has one. He says the volcano, it's true, but nevertheless, the bracha, Toshon, the bracha is the name of Hashem.
Something more like
an Achdus. Yeah, okay, that's yeah, I think so. That's
like a bracha,
yeah.
Like a bracha can be made by itself. No one has to answer.
Right, nobody's there, right.
The name needs a bracha to...
Right, so again, they're not trying to denigrate the person who makes the bracha.
Yeah.
They're trying to show why the Amen, though when it does happen, is even greater. Okay? That's how the Tashbetz Kotten, Talmud of Marv, writes in the Reish Nun Aleph, Godel Ona Amen Yosef Baruch, Ki Amavarach, Ena Maske, Ki Maske, Achaz. The Ona Amen Maske, Shtayim, Domein Gematzi, Yud Kevav Kei, and Aleph Dad Nadir. Okay. The Marsha, Chidush HaGodos and Sota, Mem and Beis, points out the Gemara that is discussing how they answer the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't say Amen. They said, for example, when they heard the name of Hashem sometime in Yom Kippur, right, what was the answer? Baruch Shem, right? Rakonim va'am, right? Everybody heard the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Hashem, and they all fell on their face and they said Baruch Shem. Thought it's a different response. They had a different response to the Beis Hamikdash. He says, but in the Gulin outside the Beis Hamikdash, we use these names of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, fine. So there are different approaches. The last one of these approaches I want to share, the Meiri, there in Nozis, Samach Vav and Beis, in the parallel sugya, makes a very interesting remark. And I don't know psychologically if this is true or not. Again, they're all trying to explain this logic. Why should one who answered Amen, why should that be greater than the person who made the bracha? So we have different approaches. You may like some and not like others. You know, the Rashbo said it's because the person is more saying truth and the other person just concentrating on the text of the bracha. Rabbeinu Bachya says like the shtar, the document, and the Avudzam says the gematria. Okay, whatever it is, but the Meiri has another point. I don't know. You have to decide for yourself whether you agree. He says, "Ona Amen Achma Varach 45 Harik Kamisha Berach." Why? Kol Shekiva in Lishmas of Bracha VeLaOd Elat Shiro. Here's what's in the key line: Shirov Pa'amim Kavonas Hamata Ozen Lishmoa Gedola Yosef Mikavonas Hamadaber. Most times, when you're really paying attention to something, you have a greater kavana than the person saying it, because you're making sure to hear it exactly. And he may not have the full kavanah in the same way. So that's why Gadol Ona Amin. That's the smach there. Amru Gadol Ona Amin Yasser Nevarach. Okay, and he gave the Moshe on the Gemara and so on. So it's just interesting. I don't know, is that true?
My perspective on brachas in general is that a main recipient just happens to be in the general recipient.
Right, but here we're learning more to it. Yeah, so that.
The only way I
can... But the Meiri is telling the psychological ones. I will tell you my own self, okay? But I thought of this when I saw this Meiri in Nazir. He said, on Shavuos morning, so if you stay up all night, usually they find something, we don't say certain brachas in the morning if you're up all night. So they try and, unless they have no choice, but they try and find somebody who slept part of the night to say the Birchas HaShachar. So they always get one guy up there to say the Birchas HaShachar. And I know myself. I concentrate very carefully, on that person saying the bracha. I want to be yotzer those brachas. I can't say the brachas up all night. So I listen to him say it, right? And I'm concentrating. Okay, this morning I said his brachas, I was half asleep. The same brachas, right? So I have greater kavanah on Shavuos morning saying those brachas just by listening. And sometimes I do. Honestly, sometimes I do when I say the bracha myself. But on the other hand, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting comment by the Miri, that's all. Okay.
That thing, you have 2 ears
in
one mouth.
Right. Yeah. More intently, yeah. You listen more than you speak, yeah. Okay, anyway, so these are different approaches that the Rishonim took to regard to this unusual statement in the Gemara. But just to show you how far it goes, okay, there's a fascinating discussion, a quick background that I'll give you. In Parshas Achemos, the Torah presents a mitzvah called Kisi Adam. Right, that when you shecht certain types of animals, not behemoths, the chayit, okay, you shecht a chay, you shecht a bird, the mitzvah of kisya adam. Okay, it's just parak yud zayin of a yikra posi yud gimel. So the Gemara of a Kama, Tzari Alpha Bey, says the following. The din is, v'shofach v'chisa misha shofach yichase. Who gets first dibs on the mitzvah of kisya adam? The blood spills on the ground and they cover it with dirt. Who should do it? The shochet, the guy who shechted the animal, or the bird. Okay? All right, he has first dibs on that mitzvah. So the Gemara tells a story. Guy's shechting a bird. He shechted it. And he's about to take some dirt and cover it. And somebody else jumps in, grabs some dirt, and does the mitzvah. He beat me out of the mitzvah. Right? So Chiva Rabbi Gamliel, he came outside of the Hoven. Rabbi Gamliel said, you got to pay. You took away his mitzvah. You find him. The guy who chopped the mitzvah is fine. He's got to pay 10 Zehuvim, 10 gold pieces. Okay. And that's at a Rambam Paskin, Hilchos Chovel Amazik, Perk Zayin, Alach Yudalad, V'chein Mishashochot Yechayar Ov, Uvo Acher V'kis Dam, Shalom Midas HaShochot, Chayav Litin Kimo Shiru HaDayonim. Not necessarily 10 Zehubim. Some say it has to be a fixed amount. Some say it's up to the Dayanim. Fine, that's a detail. Tilchos Shem Mishwas Shem 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 Pei Bei. You want to check there and see follow. Okay. The Rush in Chulin tells the following story. Perk Vov Simin Ches. That's also in that. It's probably brought by the Ramon in that... That's a good question, but it's the best we can do. So, if it's worth $10, I don't know. But look at this rush. I can imagine this happening. It's hard to imagine. Chulin Perak Vav Simen Ches, 50. Ma'ise be'echad she'omer lemoel acher, echad, she'yomos b'no. Okay, I got a certain guy to be my, Baruch Hashem, All right, so you were twins, but let's say I only had one. I have one son. I have a moel there, and there's another moel in the shul. But I asked this guy to do the bris. Okay, so he's all set up to do the bris. And suddenly the other guy jumps up. He has a little beard, and he does the bris. Okay, the cut of acher moel. So the first guy, he wants to tend the hall. He wants to tend the home. He says, "You stole my mitzvah." The father of the boy asked me to do the bris. Okay, if you have twins, you can get two different moels if you want. Okay, huh? Oh, he does himself. Okay. Okay, that's he's a doctor.
He did the first son.
I remember when I first had a son. I thought, sorry, one of my first two children were girls. But after I had a son, so I thought that it's a father's mitzvah. Really. So I wanted the moel to set everything up, but I would do the actual cut. That was why I kind of showed him. I said, let me try that. So, because my mother will say she called the police. That's also back the way. But anyway, so, but the Rosh has the following story, so it tells the story, and so the other guy wants us, oh, Potro Rabbeinu Tam. The next page. Rabbeinu Tam says he doesn't have to pay. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have to pay. Why not? Okay, it's because he says as follows. First of all, he says, the less pay chisaron kis. So we can't today we don't have, the Bezin can't impose those kinds of fines today. We don't have that authority in Bezin. But he says, furthermore, Kevin Shahar Sham Bishas Mila, that first moel, he was there. The second moel jumped in and did the mila, and he said the bracha, right? So Mistama, the moel, answered Amen. So said the Rebbeinu Tam, he's better off because he got, it says in the Gemara, that's how far the Rebbeinu Tam took it. Gadol Hal Amen, the first guy, the first one was better off because he got to answer Amen. The other way, he would have just said the Bracha. Now he got to answer Amen. And what if he didn't answer Amen? Instead he said, what the heck are you doing on the ball? Okay, that's his own fault, right? He blew it. He should have answered Amen. I'm just showing how far goes this idea of God on Amen. Rabbeinu Tam felt that, you know, that in a certain sense, the first moral came out ahead, the picture. So, the other guy doesn't have to pay his $10. Anyway, the Torah talks about this in Simon Chav Ches, okay? It brings it to Halacha. All right. How do we paskin Lamaisa, though? So, Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Aleph, Siv Dalid, agrees in 52. Tzarech lachzer sheyitnu lo kosher bracha lebar. We assume it's still better to say the bracha than Rabbeinu Tam's psak notwithstanding. Okay, that he should be the mizumah, as Rishbur explains in Katan Tezvav of Simrei Shalif to 53. Sheyehu amizamid umotza cherem mizam, not just to listen to Amen. Okay, even though ona Amen kemotzi bracha mipiyit, but still the schar goes to the one who said the bracha. Okay, and the Magen Avraham there in Katan Vav brings the Gemara in the end of Nazir, it's also in Brachas, as we saw, even though it says Gadol Omen Osim Rebar, nonetheless, we seem to paskin the other way. Okay? It's a different opinions about that, so we paskin. Now, it's interesting because in Simon Reish Tezvav, the Tur, paskin in 55, Onen Omen Achri Yisrael Mevarech, even though you didn't hear the whole Bracha. Okay, as we discussed, we have to hear the Shem Hashem. So the Beis Yosef makes an interesting comment. He says, as important as Amen is, everything we've seen tonight, as important as Amen is, he says, Sof, he says, it's not obligatory. Okay? Second line of 56, the Beis Yosef in Archaim Sim Reish Tetzvav. Lav Lememra, Shashomea Brachim Yisrael, Chayev Lanos Akrav Amen. She'ein Chiev Bedover. It's not an absolute Chiev. It's a good thing, and it brings all these, you know, but Sof Kol Sof, you can't say that we never find that there's a Chiev. Okay? So, and then he discusses what does the Torah mean when he says Onim Amen Achri Yisrael Mevarech, and he's saying, well, he's just trying to contrast with Kusi, but you don't really have to say the Bracha, you don't really have to say Amen. But the Bach disagrees with that Beis Yosef, because he quotes what he means. The Bahag and the Rambam, and they all say that, look in the language of the Rambam, back in, where do we have it before? The Rambam in the previous page, Perek Aleph Yud Gimel. 35. You must answer Amen. So it sounds like the Beis Yosef disagrees with that. The Rambam, but the Bach finds that to be a problem because he said the earlier authority said not like that. Okay, so the answer may be, we move to 59, the Tshuvas of Shlomo Kluger. The abridged Tshuvas of Shlomo Kluger, called Tshuvas Ha'alef HaChashlomos. They abridged about 1,000 of Shlomo Kluger's Tshuvas into shorter Tshuvas. So it's Ha'alef HaChashlomos, Chelek Aruchayim Simen Tzadi Hei. Okay, he says, Beis Yosef is Tamua, What do you mean it's not a chiyuv? And I think it's a tremendous question because God Almighty always a varach. Certainly, it wouldn't say that if it's not a chiyuv and so on and so forth. But basically, he distinguishes again between what is the mevarach doing? Is the mevarach reciting a brocha that he has to recite? Well, says the Mishnah Kugel, if it's a brichas hanen, and no, he doesn't have to say a brocha on apple. Why? Because he'd always what? Not eat an apple. Not obligated to eat an apple. So there, we could argue that answer amen, says the Mishnah Kugel, to those brachas is not absolutely obligatory because the whole brocha isn't obligatory. I mean, it's obligatory if he eats an apple, but it's not ultimately you have to do it. Okay? Well, the first guy doesn't have to eat an apple. It's not obligatory. So therefore, that's right. The second guy doesn't have to answer amen. He should, but it doesn't have to. Okay? Whereas the brichas mitzvah, guy's making a brocha that he has to do. He has to show from Rosh Hashanah. He has to wave the love on sukkahs or whatever. So that's how he answers it. Just to finish up, you know, it's proper to train children to say, amen. Again, even though we learned earlier that, you know, that you don't have to answer amen to a baby's bracha, but you should try and train the children to answer amen. And if that's the way you train them, that's also you answer amen, he should answer amen. Today, you know, that amen contests and the kids should say amen out loud and so on. Gevaldik, you know, we should train them because the Gemara says on Hagin Kuf Yud Beis 60, Itmar Kotten Me'emasai Bo'ol Olam Habo. When does a person become eligible Olam Habo? The Gemara says, if you answer Tana Mishum Rebeir, amen. When he learns that, so one of the first things you teach your kid to say amen, because that opens up. I quote that pasuk, "Pisu sharam ve'lo goy tzadik shomer amunim." We had earlier, "Al tikah shomer el shomer amen." Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens in the Kuf Chav Dalet Tiv Zayin, "The yalamed barav ktanim shianu amen." Kimiyad shatinik ona amen yeshu chelak olam avo. Wow. Okay, so it's a good thing. All right. Now, another ha'ara. There's an occasion when you shouldn't answer amen. You know, and that is that's to your own bracha. Don't answer amen to your own bracha. As the Gemara says in Brachas Menhemet Beis, Tanicha 62, Tanichada, Ono Amenacha Brichosav. The first statement is if you answer amen to your own bracha, it's a good thing. Hariz Meshubah. Tanidach, the other bracha says, Hariz Meguna, it's a bad thing. Where it says, depends what it is. There is a bracha which we do answer amen to our own bracha. Namely, mention, remember, Bona Rachamav Yisholim, amen. We answer amen to our own bracha. Right? So that's Bona Yisholim, but usually not. Okay? Why do we do it by Bona Rachamav Yisholim? So Rashi explained the 63 in Brachos Menhemet Beis because it's the end of the series, and some have it also by like what is Sardin, that the Meir, the answer is Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad Amen. Because it's the end of the series. And whoever is the end of the series, the answer Amen. Okay, and that's how the Rambam Paskins Perak Av Alachat Zayin 64. Kola Amen Achar Brachos Amarezim Meguna. It's wrong. You don't answer Amen to your Bracha. But Va'ona Achar Bracha Shusof Bracha Sacharos Harizim Shabbat. It's the end of the series. And he gives examples. Boni Yerushalayim, Bech Samazon, Bracha Achon Shul Kriyash Mashal Arvis, and so on. Okay, and that's how we find the Shulchan Aruch also. So Reish Tezvav Sif Aleph. Okay, but here's an interesting thing. We said before the story of Rabbeinu Tam, right? He said that the other mole, this is the first mole, came out ahead because he got the answer Amen. What emerges from that is that Amen actually becomes part of the text of the Bracha in a certain sense. So there's an interesting Yerushalmi in 66, Parag Zayin, Allah Gimel, we'll finish in a moment. He says, Rabbi Abba Bar Zimino once was Mechabit of Zera Tilly, the benching. So he said, are you having me in mind for benching? Okay, so I'll hear your Bracha, you'll have me in mind. Because, like I told you, in the old days, one person said the whole bench. But then he says, just like you want me to have you in mind when I say the bracha, you have me in mind. You have me in mind when you answer amen. You hear that? So the person saying the bracha, what do you mean? He's saying the bracha. What does he need the amen for? Apparently, the amen is part of the bracha. So he said, just like you're telling me to have me in mind, have you in mind when I say the bracha, I'm telling you have me in mind when I say amen. That's how the Pnei Moshe explains. Right? An interesting point because God owns amen as well. So I want to get the best of both worlds too. Okay? So therefore, when you say amen, have me in mind. It's a different kind of Shomer Kona. I'm going to be motzi to you with the bracha, but I want you being motzi to me with the amen. That's how Rashi says also in Brachas, on the Gemara Brachas, Mem Zayin and Be'a Amin Aleph, tells us, it's important din. I'll say it outside because it's late, but the Gemara says, you know, you should not proceed with the next Bracha or the next thing you do until everybody's answered Amen. A lot of times, you know, they're saying the Chazor Shashat so quickly, okay, she said, Rovich HaMisho, and the Spirit answering Amen, the guy's already in the middle of the next Bracha. It just zooms right along. You should pause for a moment. It's actually long. Amen doesn't take that long. But especially, you know, like I say, Yom Narayim, you know, Okay, now wrong. Amen. You know, so wait a minute. Till he moves on, right? Because amen, because the Rashi says in Brachas Menzayin or Aleph, okay. Look at the third Rashi, third line of 69. Ad shechal amen peonim, but the af anias amen min habrochei. Answering amen is in the bracha. Okay, it's part of the bracha. And these last makaris I got from this Shaul Suva Tetzel Ezechel Kiralos in base because he asked an interesting question. Should you say brachas out loud? Is any Indian say brachas out loud? So he quotes the Sefer Chassidim, it's in Ration and Dalit 70, Ha'omer belachash brachas atar brachas goes de las hamitzes. He's stealing the opportunity for someone else to say, you talk, say quietly, you should say brachas out loud. It's ironic, because usually who does say brachas out loud? Kids. Right? They're usually the ones who say the brachas out loud. And we said, you know, that's the answer to a kid. But all right, adults should say it out loud too. And what you say, brachas out loud. And he quotes our pasuk Mar Sedra, that the Levim said everything out loud, right? Also, it becomes part of the bracha. Matter of fact, I don't know if there's a paper, we'll finish up with this, okay? But the B'yar Goran, Tzimkar Beis, quotes Samach Zayin, quotes this Yerushalmi, that you have to have me in mind to Amen, it becomes part of the bracha. The Shabur also says that, Tzimkar Mechav, Danias and 73, Danias Amen, Gam Kein Mechal HaBracha. Okay, so there is a hinder, the Machzor Shekel quotes in Siman Vav, Siman Katan, Test 74. We saw in the Sefer Asara Mamaros, that's from Menachem Arzaya of Nepano. The hinder to have other people listen so they can answer Amen. You said before, sometimes you can't. Okay, you're all alone, you're eating lunch, and nobody's there. Okay, but if you can, you try to get somebody to answer Amen. And it becomes part of the bracha. I once saw Rav Avadia Yosef in a different context, it wasn't printed in the source I could find. But it's in the Haggadah, I think. You know, but as Sfardim, we say Bor Pi HaGofen with a komatz, because at the end of a sentence, the segel becomes an R. The Torah, a lot of places like that also, but like Mashiach Mona Geshem. So if we assume it's the end of a sentence, it's Goshem. Those who say Geshem, it's because not really the end of a sentence, it's part of the flow over there. Okay, but Bor Pi HaGofen Lachor isn't there, but the Sfardim, say Bor Pi HaGofen. You ever hear Sfardim make So Raja says, so they ask Raja, why? He said, because it's not really done. Amen is part of the bracha. A creative answer. Anyway, the Tzitz Eliezer, in that Shulvan, 75, Chelek Yuralef, Simon Beis, he asked if there's a hinder. He said, we don't really find anyone in the Gemara that says you say a bracha out loud. He's being honest. He said, don't really have a mucker that you must say. Okay, he says, so you say a bracha out loud. He says in Osalaf, he named Makar Mefurish al pi halacha in any motza. I can't really tell you there's an actual mucker to say aloud. But he quotes the Machtashah, quotes many things that we quoted. That's where I got it from. So he says at the end, there's an Inyan Gadol. There's a good thing to say it out loud. Okay, even though there's not an explicit chiyuv to say brachas out loud, you know, not an open and shut case, but he says certainly it's the right thing. So just to conclude with the passage again from Dvarim Rabbah and our Sedev Kisama Parshas Zayin Osalaf. Amar of Yudon, call me Shaona Amen Bolam Azeh, Zochalanos Amen Lasid Lavo. People answer Amen properly in this world, because Baruch will see these around in the future world to answer Amen as well. Give everybody, I wish everybody a good Shabbos. Okay.
Amen. Yeah.